uh-oh, and it hurt.
March them down here in formation now.
That's right. Gonna be inspection down here.
And we want them name, rank, and order.
Like a color guard, I want to see them.
Somebody right there. Somebody right there.
You think so, huh?
Yep.
Okay. Good morning.
Morning, sir.
Okay.
This would be a joyous occasion compared to listening to Hal talk about house bills and Senate bills. No disrespect. This would be a fun thing, I hope, to do. Brought with me a couple of esteemed colleagues, Mr. Barnes, our quality manager and technology manager, and Joe Hoppel, our education coordinator and recruiter. After today, you'll understand why he's a recruiter. If you don't mind, I'd like to, if you indulge me for just a moment, I'd like to tell you a little bit about the program.
Tell him to get his picture from up here if he wants. Get up here and get their fronts. Their back of their heads might not look as good in the paper.
outside of perhaps Mr. Vincent and Mr. Cole, probably the other councilmen and council representatives might not be as familiar, and councilwomen might not be as familiar with the program. But back in 1990, Sussex County EMS put its first paramedic unit in service with 10 paramedics hired from outside the local area. Mike, I'm sure, remembers that we call them affectionately the Golden 10. Over the next 3 years, four groups of students were selected and enrolled to attend paramedic school at the Kent General Hospital Paramedic Education Center in Dover, Delaware. From those first four classes, 34 students graduated and worked in Sussex County, and 20 of which are still employed with Sussex County today, and currently two are staff members, myself and Alan, and six of our supervisors are original students from the classes of 1991 through 93. Those original students provided the foundation that allowed for the expansion of Sussex County EMS from one unit to eventually five units over the first 4 years of its existence. After the first four programs, the student program was suspended, and we began filling our vacancies by hiring paramedics from other agencies and paramedic training institutions outside of the state of Delaware. Although we have been successful in recruiting paramedics from other areas, there's a recognized shortage of qualified paramedics both regionally and nationally. The reinstitution of the paramedic student programs 5 years ago has helped considerably with filling our vacancies due to our growth and attrition. We average about 6 to 7 vacancies a year due to attrition. That's going to increase significantly over the next 7 years. We anticipate about 24 paramedics will be retiring for various reasons. Over the past 5 years, 17 students have successfully completed the Deltec program, which is now an 18-month certification program that includes college-level didactic classes as well as hands-on clinical and field evaluation components. And of those 17, all of them are still working for Sussex County today. The last three students enrolled in the program are doing well and are scheduled to finish this summer. We hope at some point in the future, as we did in the past, to reinstitute the program so that we can provide opportunities for Sussex County residents to go to paramedic school, as the program provides an opportunity for local residents who might otherwise not get that opportunity to advance to paramedic certification level through our sponsorship. The success of the program in terms of providing long-term employees is, without a doubt, its greatest attribute. Today, before you, are the three most recent graduates from Deltec program, Denise Helfer, Rob Luxer, that's obviously Rob, Amy Rob, who graduated last summer, completed their field orientation, the Sussex County EMS certification process, and became full-fledged paramedics last fall. We would have done this a few months earlier, but the snowstorms and some other things kind of got in the way. Denise is a resident of Selbyville and volunteers as an EMTB firefighter with the Selbyville Volunteer Fire Company. She came to us with 18 years of experience in the home health care industry, and she was also the valedictorian of her paramedic class.
Hey, yay. Good.
Amy Robb is a resident of Greenwood, where she volunteers as an EMTB and is a firefighter with the Greenwood Volunteer Fire Company. Mm-hmm. She has a bachelor's degree in biology from the University of Delaware. And Rob Luxick is a resident of Lewis and a former lifeguard, I believe a lieutenant, in the Rehoboth Beach Patrol, as well as an assistant classroom teacher working with special needs children at the Rehoboth Elementary School. And today we are here to celebrate their achievement with a ceremonial pinning of their badges. Please join us in welcoming them to the SCEMS family. I'd like to offer my congratulations on a job well done. We have family here with them today. I'd like them to come forward. Nephew. Right? Committed man forever. And I said, and Frank, Frank hates nephew.
Parents are here.
They've been looking forward to this with great anticipation.
I'm sure.
You're not going to help him?
No, you should have had a trial run.
Don't take your help, Charlie. Don't take your help, Charlie.
Congratulations.
It's stand, they might need a term, eh?
That is big. It's as big as she is. Like a police badge.
Yeah, he should know how to do it.
Stick him, it don't matter. They got paramedics here.
Hopefully, in less than a year, the last three students will be before you to receive their badges. Congrats again. Congratulations to this group on a job well done.
Good job.
Congratulations.
I'd like to thank this council and the previous councils for their support of this program.
All right. Thank you very much. Mr. Izzo.
Good morning. I have just one item on my agenda this morning. It's in reference to a contract amendment to perform construction administration and inspection for the expansion of the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility. I think everybody's familiar that we had our ceremonial groundbreaking last Friday afternoon. Also with me today, I have Mr. Mike Gilbert. You're probably familiar with Mike. He oversees a lot of the construction that we're building. For example, he's overseeing the Johnson's Corners construction as well as the Angola Sanitary Sewer District construction. But we also have Mr. Ken Stubbs. Kenny will be the resident project resident who will be out there on a day-to-day basis overseeing the construction. You may remember that the actual construction is going to expand the plant capacity of the Inland Bays Regional Wastewater Facility up to about 2 million gallons per day. But just as importantly, it also is going to introduce a higher level of nutrient removal to the process train, which will put the plant in accordance with the pollution control strategy that was adopted by DENREC in 2008. The contractor is Whiting Turner Construction Company. They're a large national contractor. We end up working with more local contractors. In this case, it was our project attracted some of the larger contractors from around the Mid-Atlantic area. Their bid was $13.2 million, and I expect to issue a notice to proceed either May 3rd or May 10th, depending upon weather conditions over the next few days. And I should mention that the contract amendment is for the amount of $934,000, and that will cover the construction, which is scheduled to be conducted over an 18-month term. If there aren't any questions, I have a motion.
Mike, I have a question for
you.
How does that compare to the facility that Tidewater wants to put in on Route 24?
You're talking about you're talking about the Wandendale plant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how does it compare? Wandendale will probably use a different technology for their treatment, but at the end of the day, the treatment end of things will probably get to a very similar level of treatment. They're going to use a different means to do that. Now, disposal-wise is where there's a big difference. The Wandendale facility is planning on using rapid infiltration basins. The last time I talked to Tidewater, they have multiple phases being planned, and they're going to use RIBS for up to 2 million gallons per day, at least when I met with them several months ago. I don't know if those plans have changed or not.
We don't use those.
We do not use RIBS at this point.
Okay.
Ultimately, I do know they are planning some spray irrigation, but I'm not sure how much. I have seen some plans, but again, they're going through a permitting process,
right. And
I haven't seen plans for several months.
Mike, with respect to this amendment,
yes,
this addresses the fee of $934,000 that
Correct.
We're paying Whitman to oversee this $13+ million project.
Right.
The attachment U talks about man hour sheets. Is that the primary change, or is there a change in the total fee, or what exactly does this change?
It's not. Basically, we had an existing contract to do the design. That was a similar number, right around $930,000. We have completed that design. Last time I checked, they were about $726,000 expended on design. So we're under budget there. This proposed contract amendment will provide for the oversight of the construction, and the $934,000 is solely for that work.
So the first $900,000 was for the design.
That's right.
Another $900,000 for oversight and management.
That's correct. But we don't, the way that the contracts are arranged, I don't have, it's not like we're going to go back and spend that $200,000. Sometimes in the past, we actually have amended that first contract to reduce it to the $700,000 range, and I could actually pass a motion to do so. I could amend my motion to do so, but
that's okay.
The way the amendment is set up, we can only expend construction inspection funds for the scope of work that was presented to you on Friday.
So we've spent $700,000+ on the design.
That's correct.
Potentially, we could spend up to another $934,000 on the management and oversight of the construction.
Right.
So of the $13 million plus project, as much as $1.6 or $7 million could go toward consulting fees.
That the way the contracts are written, but if I have my design spreadsheet right now, and we've only expended $726,000. Through the bidding process, and we might have slight expenditures there just to close out some contracts, but
okay, so 700 and about, 900, yeah. 16, 1.6 million
That's
in
correct.
Consulting fees
That's
on
correct.
$13 million. I guess why I'm taking pause is there was a lot of discussion about consulting fees for these projects coming in around 6-7% tops.
That's right.
With this additional consulting fee, we're up around 14%.
When we talk about the 6-7%, that's broken down into the two tasks. Usually for design, we'll see something between 7-8%. And then on top of that, when we talk about construction administration, we see something in the 6-7%. When we budget projects, we work with Mr. Baker, we actually set aside 15%. When we set up our project budgets, and routinely we've been coming in under those. So it's two separate components. Component A is to complete the design. Component B is to do the construction administration and inspection.
And it may have been me just not hearing it said earlier, but all along I thought the discussion was around consulting fees on a project, 6-7%. I now hear there's another 6-8% coming on top. Are there other consulting fees that we're going to have to deal with down the road?
No, this will see us through the end of construction. And routinely, again, it's time and material. We bring these contracts in under budget. I can't think of us ever come. Well, I should change that. For the runway construction, we actually have to come back in and do a further amendment just because the construction ran long. And we've charged liquidated damages to the contractor because he didn't finish the construction in time, but yet at the same time, we have to have people out there, even though it runs long. So other than circumstances when we've charged liquidated damages, I can't think of another occurrence when we've come in and asked for further funds.
How did we determine who was going to be the group to do this, the consultants?
We actually have, it's professional services. The state of Delaware requires that we go through a particular selection process, and we have a committee of people that review the qualifications of consultants that submit, you know, their qualifications. We sit down, we rank them. As a committee, we come together with a conclusion, and we come in and make a recommendation to the county council.
But we are using, I assume, I know we talked a year ago about trying to get more local consultants involved in some stuff, where you are using other people, I guess, like GMB or KU.
We're using
or
GMB, and actually, again, these two gentlemen are both Sussex County residents, so they are local people. For example, Mr. Stubbs left the employment of GMB. They didn't have any further work for him, and he was picked up by Whitman Record for this project. We continue to use GMB, Davis, Bowen, and Friedel, CABE for other projects. In this case, Whitman was selected for this project, so we've continued with that process.
I'm not disparaging this firm. I think this firm is a good firm. The people are quality people. I think the concept, though, of us spending $1.6 million on consulting for a project that's 13 plus million just is gross. And it's the industry, it's the system,
it's the
rules, the regulations. But the thought that all those users are going to bear this cost ultimately just is hard for me to stomach. But we will allow you to read the motion, and if the council has any other questions.
I have a question.
Yes.
It's not about the consultants, but it's also about this construct or the way the consultants or engineers have proved it. When I look at this wiring that goes to these pivots,
mm-hmm.
I see where they're in concrete boxes, you might say, or a foot square, very 8 feet deep. Isn't that a little ridiculous?
We have looked at a couple things. One thing that occurred because of the stimulus funding process, if you remember last April, we were awarded the stimulus funding, and the condition was we had to have these contracts signed by February 17, 2010. We had 12 contracts we put out on the street, and basically we were in a situation of working hard to produce the drawings that could be bid. Normally, we have more time to do in-house value engineering to look for things, cost savings like those. Now, in this case, we've had conversations with one of the subcontractors for Whiting Turner, and they are going to suggest several common sense things that are going to provide some positive change orders to the project.
I was wondering if we could do that, and I'm glad. I just want to bring it to your attention.
Yeah.
But we can take some money that we saved in that area and maybe use it in another more constructive way.
Well, we just like to take the savings and put it in the bank. But
put it in the bank? I see a lot of things down there certainly need improvement. I noticed the knoll down there, some people call it a small hill, and the bottom land in there is just way down below, and water standing, and a lot of corrections down there. And I thought maybe if we could sort of manipulate some of this stuff around and be more constructive, more beneficial to us, and just bring that cement down in that ground. I just thought that certainly is a waste.
And those items are within the scope of work that we were approved by the federal government stimulus money.
That is correct.
Well, I think you understand that those things probably need to be done, and I'm glad Mr. Wilson brought it to everyone's attention. Mr. Izzo, have you a motion?
Be it moved based upon the recommendation of the Sussex County Engineering Department, the Sussex County Council President be authorized to execute contract amendment number 14 to its original contract with Whitman Record and Associates LLP for the South Coastal Planning Area, that should be for the North Coastal Planning Area, for the construction administration and project representation for the Inland Bays wastewater facility phase one expansion at a cost not to exceed $934,042.
Questions for Mr. Izzo before we call the vote? Mr. Izzo, is there any other opportunity for your department to look at the cost of this particular aspect of the project?
Not with the construction contractor wanting to start construction on May 3rd or May 10th.
And are you on a timeline with respect to stimulus monies that you would recommend him starting as quickly as possible?
Well, I don't think it's a stimulus requirement. However, you know, we do have a contractor who wants to put people to work. When we delay construction, that just means longer time that we have employees that are not working.
So, again, we've been trying to work with the contractor, all the contractors, to get them working as quickly as possible. And also, frankly, we've gotten pressure from the funding agencies to get our contractors working.
Well, that's what I was thinking was the case, yeah.
Go ahead, Mr.
I'm wondering if maybe after the project starts and maybe we're a quarter of the way through or some milestone, and we can look at the cost of the inspection and contract administration, like you noted, the design, we're under. So we could, you can come in with a change order to reduce that and then look at a plan for the cost to complete the project with inspection and contract administration, and then come back to the county council with a proposal to hopefully reduce it. Typically, as Mr. Izzo has noted, these are upset limits, and they're on the high side.
Okay. Yeah. Mr. Baker, I appreciate that offer, and I'm sure the council has great confidence in you and the engineering department. Any other discussion before we take the vote?
Ms. Do we have to offer the motion?
I believe Mr. Izzo.
I've read a motion.
Okay. Yeah, I'll offer the motion. Don't we need a second on it?
Yes, we do.
Second.
Mm-hmm. I have a motion and a second to approve the Inland Bay Regional Wastewater Facility Phase Number 1 Expansion Construction Administration and Resident Project Representation. Any further discussion?
No.
Ms. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
I vote yes. Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Grant requests.
Only three today. The first one being Philadelphia Arms Townhomes.
I think we have people here from there. Did you have anything that you wanted to say?
Oh, Everett.
Sorry,
Everett.
I didn't know they were
sorry,
there.
Sorry, somebody.
I'd like to say most certainly thank you to the council for receiving our request. I'd just like to state that Ms. Deaver came down to our campus down at the Philadelphia Pentecostal Church, and she saw some of the wonderful things that we're doing down there. And affordable housing is one of the projects that we currently have going on. We know that affordable housing is. The distinguished gentleman from Delaware State Housing Authority was here earlier. I didn't know he was going to be here. But I think we see that it most certainly is a need. But we're hoping to garner support from the county council with our project. It's an awesome project. We've actually labeled it upscale affordable housing. Or affordable housing has, over the years, received a bad reputation. When you think of affordable housing, the first thing you think about is housing projects. But one of the things that we're looking to do with our affordable housing is to establish a homeowners association. Of course, fees would be incurred through the association to keep the townhouse development upscale. We're looking to change that stigma, not in my backyard. Everyone thinks affordable housing is good, but they don't want to see it in their community. So what we're looking to do is change that stereotype. We're looking to do this by giving the houses their own personal identity so that they all don't look the same, hopefully by allowing some of the houses to have possibly brick facades or siding facades. And one of the other things that we're looking to do is, we're looking with approval from the county, is to take these townhomes three-story. In the Kent and Sussex, Kent and Newcastle County, you see three-story townhomes. They're starting to come up all over the place. We want to do the same thing here in Sussex County also. I really didn't expect to be here to sell the program.
Well, I saw you were out there, and I didn't know if you had something to say, but yeah. Appreciate it.
Where are they located?
In the town of Ellendale.
Mm-hmm. Okay. How many are you gonna build?
It'll be two units of six townhomes in each.
Two buildings with
yes.
six units.
So it'll be 12 townhomes total.
And the church owns the land, is that what it is?
Yes, the church owns the land presently, but the Philadelphia Arms Townhomes is a nonprofit organization, so the church will sell the property to the Philadelphia Arms Townhomes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Is there a motion with respect to the amount?
I think I have $1,000 I can contribute to that.
Okay, I'm good for 250. It sounds like a good cause. You did mention it was church related. We do have a policy that it can't benefit solely the church membership. This is a broad-based community program.
This is a community. This great. Is a community.
It's open to everyone.
Yes, it is.
Great. Awesome.
Okay. Good.
All right. $1,000 from Ms. Deaver, $250 from mine. Anybody else in? I'll accept that motion, Ms. Deaver.
Mm-hmm.
Second, please.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you,
sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Delaware State Police Troop 4.
Where is Troop 4?
Georgetown.
Mr. Wilson?
It's the Explorer program.
I'll sit back behind the bench. I thought I'd be safe.
Thought you'd be safe. Would you like to help Troop 4's Explorer program with a couple $100?
Have they asked for a specific amount?
Troop 4 is where?
That's our amount of 113.
Not specifically. They have goals for their students.
Like Boy Scouts, Boy Scouts. The next level of
Boy
Scouts.
We've done 150 each before.
I never took the sport. Okay.
150 each? Mm-hmm. Everybody good with that?
Boy Scouts? It'll
be okay with me.
Like my father had plenty of work at home to do. I didn't have
and we've done 100 each.
150 each?
And or 100.
Please make a motion.
Yes.
150 each by Ms. Deaver, second by Mr. Cole. Any discussion?
None.
In favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you. My last one, Rehoboth Beach, Main Street.
I'll give $1,000 for the 4th of July fireworks.
Second, please.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried.
It's one great show, too,
thank
guys.
You.
Mr. Moore, introduction of proposed zoning ordinances.
There are none, Mr. President.
Additional business. Mr. Luther Warren still here? Luther?
Mr. Warren?
Okay.
Yep, go on down.
I asked him to come. I hope it's within the parameters.
He signed up. He's got 3 minutes.
3 minutes. We'll tell you when.
I have a stormwater problem on my property. It's on Neptune Road. The state knew about it. They knew about it before they blacktopped the road. It was planned that on the 100-year flood plan, my property would be used for storage of state water. Since February 6th, I have been fighting water. I have rented pumps. I have pumped over 2 million gallons of water. 2 million. You've gone to Hudson Road, and you've looked at Hudson Road. They don't look like nothing to my property because I sit back off the road 300-some feet. My house has been underwater. Almost 2 foot of water. And the state did this to me. They had no way to drain the road when they did it, so they drained it to my property. Not only did they drain it to my property, but the other side of the road, over here, is a big bowl. They took and put a drainage pipe underneath the road so I would drain the whole other side of the road. The ditch goes up 400 yards on that side, 100 some on that side, on the other side of the road. Comes down the hill. That whole big property on the other side, which is owned by Denerec property owner, all that water come right across the road, all the water's come down, and it just come onto my property.
How big's your property?
3 acres.
You got 3 acres?
I had low land. I was fighting it by myself because I blamed myself. I knew I had low land. Till one day I was out there and I was going out to the road, and as the night we got that bad rain, and all this rain just come down the road, and I just stood there and watched all this state water just pour down my property.
What's the solution?
They've got the solution. The worst thing about it is when they first came out a month ago, they sent a young boy, and they already had a solution before they did the road. $200,000 worth of pipe and stuff.
But
it was more feasible to drain the water on me. I stood out there with them, and they said, well, we had nothing to do. I mean, this is a position we're in. We didn't know what to do. They did. They could have. I stood right there, and I said, you put a development over here called Redwood. They have a big stormwater holding place. It's a lot lower. They could have run pipe, and that's what they're going to do now. They've got an order in for it. But 2 weeks ago when they talked and I walked off, I said, well, I know I had low land, I take the blame, but you pumped your water onto me and it's not right. Get rid of it. They were going to give me a pump and everything. I talked to Mike Powell and Denerick yesterday, and they've got an order down for the road to be done, but nothing about my water. Mm-hmm. And well, I just can't afford to keep getting a pump.
What state representative or state senator have you been working, discussing this with?
Nobody.
I think that might
Well, that's
help
where you.
You
need to go, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd get on those guys, make sure they're aware of the issue. The county can't do much about that. Mm-hmm. It's a state problem.
Well, I feel the county's partly responsible. Because I opened up this plan, and when they did that development, and you look at the drainage and you say, why? Why did you put two catch basins in a development and drain one this way and one that way, and past that, the pipe goes out two sections?
And
then the rest of the road comes downhill to it.
Mm-hmm. Not to pass the
other end right. Goes the same way. So that road is flooded on purpose.
Right. But the drainage plan of that subdivision was approved by the Sussex Conservation District. Which is again another state agency. Mm-hmm. So what mm-hmm. the county does is when at our office is when they bring in plans like this and they've been approved by these other state agencies. We then move it through the system because we assume that everything's done right. So you need to
get it's not done right.
Well, I know, but the state agencies, that's why I say, get with your state representatives and your state senator who represents that area.
That will help?
Yeah, that's the only way because the county, we can't do anything about it. Mm-hmm.
Okay. But we can get connect you with the state.
Appreciate you bringing it to our attention. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Oftentimes when we have issues such as what Mr. Godwin brought before us today that involve the public, we ask that they be placed on the internet, on our website. If there's no objection from council, maybe our information system could get those bills and your synopsis on so that they can have input with us if there is concern.
I have a question.
Ms. Deaver.
A drainage ordinance, would that affect this Mr. Warren's situation in any way if we had a drainage ordinance?
Like
the Sewell Conservation District wants us to have one. They keep asking us to have one, to adopt one.
Sound like Mr. Warren admitted that he bought low property and understands it. He's just a little frustrated with what the state did to mm-hmm. drain their water onto him.
So there's nothing that we could have done had we had a drainage ordinance.
Depends on what the drainage ordinance would say, though.
Well, exactly.
Just to say the word drainage ordinance doesn't mm-hmm. really give us any direction.
Well, I keep hearing from the soil conservation people that that's what we should do.
But that means I think they want to pass the planning process, the reviewing of the plans and all that stuff to
for
a
individual
county
homes.
Department.
Pardon? They're interested in individual homes where
it's
they
the
already approved, like, the development
yeah,
right.
it's
next
the
to
individual
Mr. Warren.
Homes. Right.
So they've already, you know, so
yeah.
that's what they're...
The individual homes, yeah.
Which oftentimes...
Which I think we're already looking into that anyway.
Oftentimes, well, almost by code, I'm not sure, but that water is drained to the front of the property where the state maintains their ditching system. But I know in a lot of cases, those ditches have been either covered up by the property owner, not maintained by the state, so oftentimes mm-hmm. the water just collects on those individual mm-hmm. lots instead of going where it's supposed to.
We
have... Mr. Baker?
I'm sorry. We can contact DLDOT and Denrec on behalf of Mr. Warren, if you'd like.
Very yeah. good if we could. That would be mm-hmm. very helpful.
Okay.
Entertain a motion
you,
to recess till 1:30.
Thank you.
Second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Now we...